It's time for the online edition of the longest-running local rock show on the Jersey Shore. This is 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast. And here's your host, Tom Hanley.
Welcome to 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast. I'm Tom Hanley. Each week we bring you the latest tracks and interviews from the bands that make New Jersey rock. And this week we're loaded with all kinds of tricks and treats. It's the first ever Jersey Rock Podcast Halloween special. Coming up, we'll hear spooky stories from reporter Bob Macon, Monmouth University History Department Chair Dr. Richard Veit, and Scotty, the New Jersey medium. We'll also rock chilling tracks from The Ones You Forgot, Frankenstein 3000, Ruby Bones, Reality Suite, Dentist, These Wolves, Roulette, Experiment 34, and Lunatic Fringe. It's a full-hour show, so make sure you crank it up while handing out candy, carving your jack-o'-lantern, or rocking your Ouija board. Before we get into any of that, let's kick things off with a great track to get into the spirit of the season. Here's the Carousers with Halloween Night on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast.
Sad to say I've reached the dead end. She's queen of the open ended. Could've sworn that we had more, but I guess it wasn't in store. Can't seem to wrap a brain around that. He's for good. I'm in now, and I'll be a fool if she let me prove her how. 'Cause she sent shoes running down my spine.
Self-titled EP. The band has a brand new album on the way this December. Check them out at thecarousersnj.bandcamp.com. On the phone is Bob Macon of Making Waves. Bob, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Tom. It's always a pleasure to chat with you.
Yeah, and normally when I have you on, we're talking about like an upcoming rock show or something. That's not really the case for this episode because it's the Jersey Rock Halloween special, and you've explored a number of allegedly haunted locations throughout your long career as a writer. We're going to get into that in a moment, but before that, we are going to mention a show coming up that we're going to do a full week feature on Jersey Rock this November, the second annual Making Waves Hunger Benefit for Food for Thought. Give us a preview of that.
Well, last year, I helped them out, raised about $600 for Food for Thought to help feed the homeless and the hungry at Langusta Lounge on Thanksgiving and Christmas. They were helping me out because I had to move the show from a different venue. This year, there's a greater need because there was such bad weather this summer throughout the Jersey Shore. You know, some of the businesses that support Langusta Lounges and Food for Thought's efforts to feed the homeless and the hungry on Thanksgiving and Christmas, they made less profits this year because of so much rain. So it's even more important to have this benefit this year to help with that effort. And this year, it's the entire weekend. It's Friday, November 16th and Saturday, November 17th at Langusta Lounge and Asbury Park Yacht Club. And we've got 12 great acts, actually 14 great acts because we've got a couple of features. going on. All the info is over at the Making Waves page on Facebook. You can check that out. It'll take you to the link, the event page, and there's a lot of publicity going on. So just tune in and you'll be able to find out all about it.
Check that out and stay tuned. We will be featuring that event on Jersey Rock this November, but it's Halloween time right now. And as we mentioned before, you've had a lot of experiences. You just wrote a couple of columns for MyCentralJersey.com. I believe one of them was like the 13 most haunted places in New Jersey.
Yeah. I've done a lot of coverage of paranormal activity with mediums, with ghost hunters, with Weird New Jersey. And, you know, I've been with MyCentralJersey.com and the Courier News for a long, long time, and the Home News Tribune. I've been with the Courier News since 1994, and it's mainly with them that I've gotten the opportunity to do some really interesting coverage of experiences that, you know, I've had myself with the other world. I mean, I can tell you, I have seen and felt and heard my fair share of ghosts, but actually my favorite ghost story is one that I didn't get to experience myself. It's one that I learned through my friends at Weird New Jersey, and I led off that most recent article about Haunted New Jersey with that one, and it's called The Legend of Buckeye Billy, who was a New Hope football player and was playing Lambertville High School back in 1935. He got tackled. The tackle was so severe that his neck turned his head completely around. And it was so horrific that New Hope High School stopped having a football program in 1935. And for many years, until they built a new high school, they didn't play football. Now they have New Hope Solbury High School, where they do play high school. And about 20 years after that incident, there were a handful of kids who had gone to Lambertville High School. And shortly after it closed and they opened South Hunterdon High School, they went back to their old school and they threatened, you know, this legend of this Buckeye Billy who supposedly was haunting the high school. You know, they challenged him to a race across the football field. And the story goes that Buckeye Billy appeared with these red eyes and yelled at the boys to run across the field. Well, they ran for their lives. But the next day, two of them were missing, and they were found at the high school with their necks broken, turned completely around. And that story has inspired so many people to visit the old ruins of Lambertville High School. Withstood a fire. The place set on fire in 1992, nearly 40 years after it closed. The walls were crumbling. The floors were crumbling. And people would go and visit Buckeye Billy because they wanted to see this ghost. You know, most people never experienced them. It's pretty much a legend. I spoke to the neighbors, you know, that live around where this high school was. They eventually had to tear it down because they were afraid people were going to get hurt. In fact, the property is actually owned by a developer who's been trying to build something there for 30 years. But it has been such a unsung tourist attraction, you know, for kids and you know, fans of Weird New Jersey and ghost hunters. Up until about 4 years ago when they tore it down, it was still very, very popular. But I'd never heard that ghost story, and I've heard a lot of ghost stories about New Jersey, and I'd never heard that one until about a month ago when I started working on this last article.
And where can somebody read that article?
That article is at MyCentralJersey.com. If you go to MyCentralJersey.com/entertainment, it's the main article right now. Still up as the main article.
Bob Macon of MyCentralJersey.com and Making Waves. Bob, we're going to keep you on the line and come back to you in a little bit, but thank you so much for that story right now.
Thank you, Tom.
Right now, let's do a tune based on the anime Bleach, which deals heavily with evil spirits and other things that go bump in the night. Here's The Ones You Forgot with Everywhere, Everything on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast.
Now too fast. I can't control myself, but I still don't reach out for help. Surrounded by everyone I know, yet I still find a way to feel so alone. Everywhere I go, everything I see, yet it still haunts me. Everything I feel, everything I breathe is poisoning me. I can't live like this anymore. No, I can't live like this anymore. Anymore. And so
hey, this is Keith Roth of Frankenstein 3000 and the Electric Ballroom, and you're listening to Tom Hanley, my buddy, on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast. To keep me sane.
sense. No more pain. I fade into the shield. I fade. Nothing is real. I fade from your memory still. What keeps us coming?
Frankenstein 3000 with Rome on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast. That's their Save the Planet album. You can score that along with their latest release, The Blunt Truth, now at mainmanrecords.com. And make sure you check out Frankenstein 3000 frontman Keith Roth on the Electric Ballroom every Sunday from 8 to 10 on Rat Radio. On the phone is Dr. Richard Veit, the chair of the Department of History and Anthropology at Monmouth University. He's also the author of a number of books, including Digging New Jersey's Past, New Jersey Cemeteries and Tombstones, A History in the Landscape, and his latest book, Envisioning New Jersey. Dr. Veit, thank you for calling into the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Tom.
Now, usually we have bands on. This is my first time having a professor on the podcast, but it's a real good reason because this is our Halloween special, and you are an expert not only on New Jersey history, but the many spooky legends of the Garden State. Can you tell us about a few?
Well, I guess the most famous, right, would be the Jersey Devil. And we obviously even have a professional hockey team named after that legend. And that's a great story, right? So that one starts in the 1700s in the Pine Barrens of New Jersey when a woman, Mrs. Leeds, gave birth to a child, and that child transformed in front of everyone's eyes into this sort of supernatural creature with a horse's head and the wings of a bat and cloven hooves, and made a horrific noise and flapped around the house and then out into the night, and continued to appear periodically in the Pine Barrens for the next two centuries. And in fact, Duquesne University professors Frank Esposito and Brian Regal have just written a great book about the Jersey Devil and what the Jersey Devil story means.
Now, I know that when you're not in the classroom, you actually kind of lead like an Indiana Jones double life. Have you ever been out there looking for the Jersey Devil?
I have not, but a few years back, I did have some students who went in search of the Leeds house, and I'm not sure if they found it. They did find a cellar hole out in the woods, and in an attempt to convince me that they had found it, they took a picture of themselves wearing devilish costumes in the cellar hole.
So what advice would you have for anyone who maybe wants to do the urban exploration stuff and try to find the spooky legends of New Jersey?
Well, there are a couple things, right? So for the readers in the audience, I think the first place to start would be the magazine Weird New Jersey, right? Because that is just loaded with interesting sites across the state. For folks who want to take a tour of maybe a historic community, visit a museum, then I think the best place to go is the Paranormal Bookstore in Asbury Park. It's not just a bookstore, but they have a museum, and they run tours of Asbury Park with a focus on the paranormal. Pretty cool stuff. And then there are a number of historic cemeteries across the state that around Halloween have their own tours. There's a great one at Chestnut Hill Cemetery in East Brunswick, where reenactors dress up in historic garb and play the various people who are interred in the cemetery. And there's another very good one in Rahway, New Jersey, in the Rahway Cemetery. So those are some places to start.
You're one of the leading experts on gravestones in this state, if I remember correct.
I've written a lot about them. I think the graveyards and cemeteries are a great way to learn about local history, but they're also incredible repositories for art and genealogical information. And often they do have stories related to their history that link to the paranormal.
Now, you mentioned the Paranormal Bookstore back there, and you have a number of books out. Your latest book is Envisioning New Jersey. Tell us about that.
So that's a book that I wrote with a colleague, Maxine Lurie, who is a history professor from Seton Hall University, and we published it with Rutgers Press. And what we wanted to do was tell the history of the state and all its diversity, starting with the first inhabitants of the state, Native Americans such as Lenape, and going up to the present. It was a fun project. We went to historical societies and organizations and museums and archives across the state trying to collect sort of new and intriguing images that related to our state's history.
How could someone get a copy of that book?
Oh, so local independent booksellers should have it. Barnes & Noble typically has it, and you can obviously get it online through Barnes & Noble or Amazon or even Rutgers Press.
Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your knowledge of the Garden State. We definitely have to have you on for the next Halloween special. Dr. Richard Veit, the chair of the Department of History and Anthropology at Monmouth University. Check out his latest book, Envisioning New Jersey. Dr. Veit, thank you so much for calling into the show.
Tom, it was a pleasure. Take care.
Right now, let's do a spooky track from Ruby Bones. Here's Heart of Darkness on 95.9 The Rats, Jersey Rock Podcast.
Hey, this is Brian King from Reality Suite, and you're listening to Tom Hanley on 95.9 The Rats Jersey Rock Podcast.
Catch me.
Reality Suite with Bury Me Alive on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast. Score that track along with the band's latest album, Awaken, at realitysuite.com. Catch them at the Spates at the Westbury Theater, opening for Vixen on November 10th. On the phone is Scotty, the NJ Medium. Scotty, thanks for calling into the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Dude, it's a pleasure to have you on. I've been keeping an eye on you on Facebook, and I know you do a lot of supernatural paranormal investigations. I want to know what goes into one of those explorations into the other side.
So basically, usually the way our team works at PARS Investigations is we'll receive a phone call, usually from somebody in a home, and they believe that they have a haunting or something paranormal happening. My partner will do an interview in depth to see what's going on. After that, we go to the location. I do a walkthrough without knowing anything other than where I've driven to. I walk through the home. I do basically psychic work. I try to dig out things that maybe people can't see. I try to come in contact with any spirits if there are any. I take notes. And when that's done, I bring it back to my partner, Patrick, and the homeowner or resident. And we compare what I've come up with versus the things that they're experiencing and the stories they've told. We see what matches. From there, we go ahead and we do like most people are familiar with on television. We have high-definition infrared cameras and full-spectrum cameras that we set up, and all kinds of meters and gadgets that measure electronic flux, voices, and all kinds of crazy stuff like that. We see what we capture. We bring it back. We analyze all of the video and audio, and then we bring it to the client if there's any other further evidence. And then from there, we decide if we can help them either move a spirit on or make peace with the entity or whatever is in the house in order for them to be able to have a peaceful life living where they are.
And PARS is the Paranormal Activity Research Society, right?
That's correct.
Tell us about them.
It's a group comprised of about seven people. We have several members who have specialties, video, audio. You know, we have extensive research into the paranormal, occult, and all things that would feed into it, including, believe it or not, extraterrestrial visits. Although we don't come in contact with too much, it's important to know all of your different types of paranormal activity in order to be able to bring a service to somebody who's looking for help.
How often do you actually find anything?
I'd say 50% of the time we can debunk most activity that's happening home. And a lot of it has to do with depression, mental health, and addiction sorts of issues that can contribute to alleged paranormal activity. The other 50% is a lot of unexplained activity, which is where I come in and try to understand what's happening with the energy or entity that's in the home.
What would be an example of something that's unexplainable?
I can use my own home for reference since it's something I know. There's been several occasions in my home where I haven't been here, and my wife has heard me calling her name, and after realizing I'm not home, has called me and asked where I am, and I'm usually pretty far away doing something. So that's the sort of thing that's unexplainable, hearing somebody's voice that you live with and they're not even home.
And what advice do you have for anyone who might be encountering something supernatural in their own house?
My advice for them is that if you are afraid of it, to call in somebody that is a professional that could come and give you help or advice. Make sure that you're seeking out people who are competent and people who aren't going to come into your home and antagonize or disrupt further what's happening. And if you don't want to do that route, make yourself very knowledgeable in the paranormal. And there's plenty of information out there on the internet that I think is credible and believable.
We use the term ghost hunter. If somebody wants to become a ghost hunter or a paranormal investigator, what advice do you have for them?
So if they want to get involved in the field, this is an easy one. What I would recommend is finding a team like our PARS team and hooking up with them and go in with some experienced people before you get your group of friends together with a K2 meter and go poking around the cemetery where you could possibly stir up something you don't want to.
What's a K2 meter?
K2 meter is something that I think anybody who watches the television shows is familiar with. It's a black box with green, yellow, and red lights on it, and it allegedly can detect when there is spiritual activity around them. You'll see paranormal investigators on television ask a lot of yes and no questions with it, and they generally are walking around in the dark with it.
Now, you mentioned maybe stirring up something you don't want to. I've heard a lot of stuff going both positive and negative about Ouija boards. What's your thoughts on those things?
I have a funny thought. If people watch my show on Facebook, I use it every once in a while as a way just to show that it is not as dangerous as I think people make it out to be. However, I think it is something like a chainsaw. If you know what you're doing with it, it could be very safe. But if you don't know what you're doing with it, it could backfire and cause some issues.
If somebody wants to get a hold of you because maybe they're having something going on in their own home, how can they do so?
They can catch me on Facebook at ScottyTheNJMedium. They can go to my website at ScottyTheNJMedium.com. And they can also see me on Instagram at the same name, ScottyTheNJMedium.
And how could somebody find out more about PARS?
They can go to PARS Investigations, P-A-R-S, Investigations.com.
And do you have any interesting ghost stories you'd like to share?
Yeah, I'll tell a real quick one. A couple of years ago when the Deadpool movie came out, I couldn't get into the local big theater, so I went to a smaller theater in the town over, and it's a very old theater. I went in. It was my wife, myself, and three other gentlemen in the theater, plus one. There was an older gentleman sitting in the front row watching Deadpool, and I asked my wife if she could see him. And she told me that she could not, so I knew that I was looking at a possible spirit. After we left the movie theater, I wasn't feeling quite right. That night, I went home, and I woke up in the middle of the night to something, I think, choking me. And when I realized that there wasn't anybody physically on top of me, I had to start praying in order for this thing to get off of me. And once that happened, I was able to stand up, and I witnessed a black shadow move through my home and out.
Spooky.
And pretty weird.
Prayer can I've heard that before, that if you're in a situation like that, that praying can actually help.
Sure. I don't bring too much religion into the paranormal, but I think that whatever your belief system is, if you ask for help from a higher being out there, especially if something is antagonizing you, that you will find the help that you need.
And I have one more question.
All right.
How is Elvis, and have you seen him lately?
Ghostbuster reference. I think he's fine, and he's definitely deceased.
Scotty, the NJ Medium. Check him out along with his group, PARS, Paranormal Activity Research Society. Scotty, thank you so much for coming on the Jersey Rock Podcast.
Thanks for having me on, Tom. I appreciate it.
Hell yeah, man. My pleasure. Right now, let's do a great track from Jersey Rock Video of the Week band, These Wolves. Here's Dead to Me on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hi, this is Emily from Dentist, and you're listening to Tom Hanley on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast.
Upset Words on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast. That track was inspired by The Sixth Sense, so if you see dead people, you might want to score their latest album, Night Swimming. It's available at DennisBand.com. They're in action at Baby It's All Right in Brooklyn on November 14th and the Saint in Asbury Park on November 16th. And singer Emily Borneman will call into the podcast next week. And joining us once again is Bob Macon of Macon Waves. He also writes for MyCentralJersey.com, and he's done a number of stories on local ghost stories over the years. Bob, thanks for rejoining us.
Absolutely, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Earlier you told us about the story about old Lambertville High School, which was demolished in 2012. It was in operation until 1955, and that was a cool ghost story about that. But let's go into another ghost story. What do you have for us now?
Well, I'll tell you, I've experienced some things myself. You know, being a features writer and entertainment writer for a long time, was an entertainment editor. I would be invited by my friends at Weird New Jersey, you know, one of the editors there I worked with for a long time, and still work with at the Aquarium. I still write for them. And when I was there full time, we worked together every day. And I was there when he started Weird New Jersey. So, you know, they would take me on all kinds of amazing journeys that involved ghosts, oftentimes, and other spooky stuff. One of them was the Flemington Hotel not too many people get to experience the stuff that goes on at the Flemington Hotel because they like to keep it quiet. But, you know, because it was Weird New Jersey, they were letting me tag along. We were walking up the stairs to a part of the hotel where there's only management that goes, that our guests don't have access to. And so we were walking up the stairs, and I felt this chill go up my spine like nothing I've ever felt before. And then a door slammed, and we went into the room where the door slammed, and there was nobody in there. And there was nobody else on that floor of the hotel. And it was a chilling experience. I can't begin to tell you how cold that chill felt running through me, you know? And a similar experience, I can't remember if this one was with Weird New Jersey. No, I think I was on my own this time. And no, I'm sorry, I was with a medium. And I slept over in the old Bernardsville Library, which is really haunted. And there's someone there who's very, very angry. And, like, you know, books will fly off the shelf and you'll hear, like, groans in the middle of the night. And we stayed overnight and we heard some things and saw some things that were just, you know, otherworldly. The old Bernardsville Library is now a private residence, so I couldn't write about it this time out because it's now private property. But at the time, it was accessible, and you know, the medium was holding ghost tours at it, and she also had done a bunch of stuff at the Spy House in on the Bay Shore. That's very haunted, and there was this one time she took me to a museum in Piscataway, which again I felt that cold presence. Some kind of cold presence. She's like, that's a ghost. And, you know, I was like, well, what's his story? And she told me that it was a Revolutionary War soldier who somehow had been disgraced right there, like, you know, those battles of Bound Brook and Scotch Plains, you know, there in Central Jersey, the Middlebrook encampment. He had somehow been disgraced, and he had, you know, settled in that area around Piscataway, and he haunted this old museum, which unfortunately burnt down a few years ago. So, you know, I guess it's not haunted anymore. And there's a couple of others, so I guess I'll share them in the next segment.
What do you say to someone who's a non-believer?
I've seen it and felt it and heard it with my own senses. You know, I believe in ghosts for whatever reason. New Jersey is extremely haunted. There are so many great ghost stories throughout New Jersey because it has an absolutely magnificent history. You know, it has wars and, you know, just so many people, you know. So there's an opportunity as a journalist, as an entertainment writer or features writer in New Jersey, people will contact you and say, I want you to come check this out. We believe this place is haunted. We want you to see it, and we want you to write about it. And I feel very fortunate to have those opportunities because they make for great, great stories that a lot of people like to read.
Bob Macon of Making Waves. Check out his stories on the many hauntings of Jersey, the most recent one, the 13 most haunted places in New Jersey, over at MyCentralJersey.com. Bob, we're going to keep you on. We'll talk to you one more time on the podcast. Thank you so much for calling in.
My pleasure, Tom.
Right now, let's do a totally rad track from Funeral Student's Ghost Ocean album. Here's 80s Grunge on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast.
Through Hey, this is Justin Roulette, and you're listening to Tom Hanley on 95.9, the Rat Jersey Rock Podcast.
Roulette with How the World Ends on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast. That's another fire EP. It's available now at roulettemusicnj.com. Keep an eye out for a new album coming soon. And while you're doing so, check out all their music videos. They definitely fit in well with the Halloween season. And we're back with Bob Makin of Makin' Waves. Check out his column at mycentraljersey.com. Great article up there, the 13 most haunted places in New Jersey. Bob, thanks for staying on the line with us throughout the podcast.
Thank you, Tom. It's a lot of fun to talk about this stuff, and I got a doozy for you for this last segment.
And again, you've had a long career. You've been asked to investigate a lot of stuff, and I can't wait to hear this ghost story. Give it to me.
Okay, so I live in East Brunswick, and so does a ghost hunter team who had been asked to investigate Hotel Somerset in Somerville, which is right across the street from my offices at the Courier News, the Home News Tribune, and mycentraljersey.com, where I go to work every day. So I, you know, again, tagged along with these guys, and, you know, there's a really funny part of the story. Hotel Somerset is a boarding house at this point in its history. Once upon a time, it had been, you know, an inn during the Revolutionary War. George Washington's men slept there during the Middlebrook encampment. But in this day and age, it's a boarding house, and there was a fellow there who was an Army veteran who was living there at the time, and he was complaining that in the middle of the night, something would tickle his feet, and he would, like, jump out of bed and look around, and it would open his closet door, and he would just feel this, like, you know, strange, eerie presence in his closet, and he'd shut the door, and he'd try to go back to sleep. And there were many times when he would be woken up because his feet were being tickled. And when he complained about it, turns out that there were several tenants within Hotel Somerset that were experiencing that. And so the ghost team was called in. They did a really thorough paranormal investigation, they had this, like, I think it's called a UV meter or something like that, which you know, detects sound that can't, you know, audibly be heard by the human ear. And I heard it myself. I heard this voice say the word Evelyn. And it turns out that there was an Evelyn who lived next door to the hotel in the 1950s. And, you know, she had died a tragic death. So the theory was maybe that was Evelyn. So the ghost hunter team called in a medium. After my story was published, it went viral. USA Today published it. And everybody was, you know, this ghost hunting team was suddenly getting all kinds of requests to be on the radio. So a medium contacted them and said, you know, if you want, I will help you continue with your investigation. And they called me back to do a follow-up story. And this time, the hotel had set up surveillance cameras. And on the surveillance cameras, you could see these white orbs that were passing through the hotel that, you know, got caught on the cameras. The other thing that the medium felt was that there was more than one ghost. That, you know, there may have been this Evelyn, you know, that they heard the voice say Evelyn, but she felt the presence of two young children who may have been runaway slaves who died while they were trying to run away from the South. And apparently they were buried somewhere on the site where the hotel had built an addition. And again, it was a situation where, you know, I heard and saw things with my own eyes.
That is some creepy stuff, and we're about to play a creepy track, perfect for Halloween, by a band that you know very well, Experiment 34. Word is they're working on a new album.
Oh, yeah, it's terrific, Tom. I can't wait for you to hear it. We'll have a new Halloween song for you next year. It's called Black Canvas, and it's absolutely fantastic.
I look forward to hearing that, and I look forward to rocking the one we're about to rock. But once again, Bob Macon of Macon Waves, MyCentralJersey.com. Keep an eye out for the Macon Waves Hunger Benefit, the second annual Macon Waves Hunger Benefit for Food for Thought. That's happening this November, and we'll be featuring that on Jersey Rock early November. Bob, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Tom.
Right now, let's see that track from Experiment 34. Here's 3 Days in the Chamber on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast.
Again, more did I?
Experiment 34 with 3 Days in the Chamber on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast. They have a new album on the way, and you can catch them at the Making Waves Hunger Benefit at the Asbury Park Yacht Club on November 16th. On the phone are Sophia Hanley and Cooper Boyd of Lunatic Fringe. Their Freak Show album's out now. Guys, thanks for calling in.
Thank you for having us.
Mm-hmm. We've done a lot with you this month. We had you on the podcast a couple weeks ago. We just did an on-air feature with you, but I figured we couldn't have a Jersey Rock Podcast Halloween special without Lunatic Fringe. So I'm wondering, how do you guys like to spend Halloween?
I stopped trick-or-treating a while ago. I don't know about Sophia. Yeah, I don't know. I'm too lazy for it. I like giving up candy and scaring small children. You know, scar them while they're young.
What about you, Sophia?
I really like the whole holiday, so I take time to, like, go into the woods and just kind of appreciate the whole aspect of the holiday.
Wow. Either of you have a ghost story for me.
Yes, our song, Life After Death, that was actually the first original we wrote as a band, because we started out as a cover band, but Life After Death, and you can probably hear it's our most simple riff, just straight up, you know, just a groove, but I didn't really know what to write about, so I just pretty much wrote about some guy who gets killed by ghosts. It's a completely fictional story, but I figured I had a riff with a pretty spooky scale going on, and I figured I could write some spooky lyrics.
And we're going to do that spooky tune right now. Sophia Hanley and Cooper Boyd of Lunatic Fringe. Grab their Freak Show EP now at lunaticfringeband.com. Guys, thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks for having me.
Right now, let's do that track. Here's Lunatic Fringe with Life After Death on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast.
Lunatic Fringe with Life After Death on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast. Their latest EP, The Freak Show, is out now, and you can catch them at Debonair Music Hall in Teaneck on December 16th for The Nightmare Before Christmas. Learn more at lunaticfringeband.com. That does it for this week's Jersey Rock Podcast. A new episode goes live on WRAT.com every Sunday at 6 p.m. Subscribe to the Jersey Rock e-newsletter to the Club Rat to have the show delivered straight to your email. And if you're in a New Jersey band and would like to be featured on Jersey Rock, email me at jerseyrock@wrat.com. I'm Tom Hanley. Thank you for downloading this podcast. We are Jersey Rock on 95.9 The Rat. Happy Halloween.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.